History is instructive. And what it suggests to people is that if they do little things, if they walk on the picket line, if they join a vigil, if they write a letter to their local newspaper, anything they do, however small, becomes part of a much, much larger sort of flow of energy. And when enough people do enough things, however small they are, then change takes place. And this week's opening quote comes from Howard Zinn. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. You know, the small things we do can make a difference, folks. Everything I've done has just been little things. You know, sometimes I think I could have done much more, but the little things we do do make a difference. You know, the effort that I've put into doing these radio shows every week and making the films and putting the website online and maintaining it and just the effort that I put into it, it's only a little thing, just the actions of one small, somewhat insignificant individual, but it still does make a difference. Everything we do makes a difference. You know, I've been doing this for the last 8 years on air, online, doing these radio shows, just doing my small bit in an attempt to bring about some positive change in the world. And there's been many other people doing similar things in their own worlds. And together we have made a difference. But there's still a great deal more left to do. You know, we can't go dropping the ball now, ladies and gentlemen, not while the powers that believe they be are on the run the way they are. They really are backing themselves into a corner with their actions, and everybody around the world is seeing the system for what it is now. So now is not the time to drop the ball. Now is not the time to think that just because they're running scared that we've got them on the run and we're safe. Now is the time to remain vigilant and to keep pushing things forward the way we have been. And look, I know there has been a lot of distractions and there's been a lot of frustrations for people in attempting to push things forward in their local area, in attempting to bring awareness to the people around them. I know there's been a lot of difficulty people have been facing. A lot of people have been losing heart. Well, not everybody, but some people have been losing heart because it is very difficult on the ground for people dealing with the sleeping masses and dealing with the system around them. And it is like a Leviathan that is this ever-encroaching machine that seems to be rising around us. Even while the politicians are flailing, the machine still seems to be there. And so it can get frustrating for people. But honestly, it's all about energy exchange, folks. It really is. This is an energetic universe, and your interaction with the system is also about energy exchange, and it's about the emotional state that you're in, and that's why the system is designed the way it is. It's designed in such a way as to disempower people, as to make people think that it is this huge leviathan, this crushing machine mechanism that they can't do anything about. But they can, folks, because we are people, and we are far more powerful than anything we have constructed. The things we have constructed are subservient to us. They're all products of human imagination, everything. This whole system is a product of human imagination, and we can defeat it by simply remembering that we are human. We are the ones that constructed it. And the power of humanity will not be overcome. You know, the strength of numbers can achieve just about anything, folks, but we won't have that strength of numbers without the power of a united community to go with it, because that's what will provide that strength of numbers. But we have to be prepared to put down our stuff with each other and to link up and unite with our community. You know, and when you're presenting information to people, often we're doing it in such a way that it's kind of freaking people out. We're being paranoid and we're being scared and we're being a little bit agitated, perhaps, in our presentation of the information to people, and it's kind of freaking them out and scaring them as well. You know, very often we perhaps don't present ourselves as someone who is empowered by having the information that we have. I mean, I feel very empowered by having the knowledge that I have, because it gives me the opportunity to heal the problem. And I don't feel scared of the system, and I don't feel scared of any people who work within the system, because I know who and what I am, and I know that I'm just dealing with people. No matter how violent or brutish or thuggish they may be, ultimately they're just people. And if you have that approach in dealing with them, then you can get somewhere. You can make a little bit of headway. You can deal with them on a more personal level. Of course, it's getting very difficult in places such as Australia now because of the legislation that's been brought in, and the police really aren't giving you an opportunity to express your humanity at all, which again is why you need the power of a united community. We really do need the strength of numbers more than ever right now. We really do. And so if you're having difficulty bringing awareness to people, then rather than even attempting to bring them information to start with, just bring them empowerment by demonstrating the empowerment of yourself. Be a shining light, lead by example in what you do, be a guiding hand and a helping hand to the people that you come across. Help people be responsive to you by being a pleasure to be around. You know, this can really make a difference, folks. You know, by doing this, you can become something of a leader in your local community, and you can help guide people in the right direction. Simply by being the right type of person in your attitude and in your approach to people. Not by even wanting to be a leader, but just by providing something that people can respect and therefore will want to emulate. That can really be a huge help in the awakening of any person, folks. Simply by being a wonderful human being. Now, being a great person, this is something that people don't think would really mean anything. They think, oh, the good guys always get squashed, nice guys always come last. But that isn't what I'm saying, folks. You don't have to be a nice guy who comes last. You can still be in the warrior spirit and not take a backward step to people, but stand in integrity in what you do and lead by example in your actions in your community, and you will really make a difference. Now, these are the sorts of things that inspire people around you, folks, and that's what we want. We want things that will inspire people and motivate them into action and help them want to emulate that which is good in the world and project that out into their own community. You know, each of us can make a difference in our own way, folks, and now's the time we have to do it, you know, with the world heading in the direction that it's heading. You know, when we're facing the very real possibility of criminals like Hillary Clinton actually becoming president of the United States next year, and the wars and destruction and mayhem that will likely follow if such a psychotic lunatic is ever allowed to put her finger on the button, it shows the very real need for people to get involved in their own community and for people to make a difference in any way they can. And the easiest way to get involved, folks, and the easiest way to make a difference is to remember that it is truly all about energy exchange. That's what this whole thing is about. It's about the emotional state that you're in. You know, what's preventing you from being involved, from getting involved in your community? There shouldn't be really anything preventing you. You know, too often we're in our mind. We're in a state of fear, apprehension. We're in a state of concern about that which has happened in the past or about that which may happen in the future, none of which exist now. And we are lost in our imagination. We're not in the now. We're not in our hearts. We're not in the moment that we exist in. This is often the problem that we face. You know, a couple of years ago, I put out a show called The Energetic Universe. I've actually released that show twice because I thought it was important. And I think it is an important show. Maybe that will help people understand how this reality works. And I also put out a film in 2009 called The Awakening, which has had quite a lot of views on YouTube, and I would suggest that people look at that as well. Well, hopefully it will help if people just view those two short documentaries. One is an hour-long broadcast and one is an hour-long film, so hopefully that will help people understand what I mean with that energetic connection anyway, to some extent. But yeah, folks, a very interesting year and very interesting times that we're in. The monkey mind, of course, is very prevalent, that reactionary monkey mind that I've already spoken to you about. We are seeing a lot of very reactionary responses from people, and I think it's important to pay attention to that as well, especially in your own actions. It's important to understand that the system wants you to react, and of course, you're going to react. Most people are going to react to what the system is doing in some way. The question is, what is that reaction going to be? And just remember to think a little bit, perhaps pause and take stock a little bit before you react to any given situation. And don't think you're alone in this, folks, because a lot of people are going through this. A lot of people I know that are very kind, gentle people are in a reactionary mode at the moment. It just seems to be happening across the board. Perhaps it's electromagnetic to some degree as well. Perhaps they're putting some frequencies into the field through all of these cell towers and stuff they've got everywhere. Or perhaps it's just because we are in the year of the monkey and the monkey mind is so prevalent. But things do seem to be quite reactionary at the moment. So knowing this can provide opportunity for people, because knowing that the system is pushing you into reaction, you can just choose what that reaction is going to be. Like the situation in France at the moment, we've seen these strikes that have been going on for months now, and this whole country, which is virtually on the verge of revolution, but the people are playing it very well. They're not really reacting in the way the government wants them to. They're not really getting violent, and they're not really responding to the police provocation for violence, because, of course, in all of these protests, it's always the police who provoke the violence. And so it's very important that people become aware of this and they play things in the right way when dealing with the system. If they're going to stand up and protest, or if they're going to react against the system in some way, make sure it's in the right way. And that's what I've done, folks. I mean, I react to the system all the time. That's what these shows are. These shows are a reaction to the system. I see the atrocious actions of these politicians, and I see the world in the state that it's in, and so I react, because I can't help it. But it's the way I react that is the effective part, because I don't react violently. I react with calm, eloquent response to the control grid. I simply come on air and speak as calmly as I'm able and call things for what they are, and it does make a difference. And it's the sort of reaction that the powers that believe they be absolutely hate. They really don't like people staying calm and simply speaking the truth and calling things for what they are. They like people to be caught up in political correctness. They like everyone to be caught up in the non-aggressive approach, whereby everyone's too afraid to offend anybody else. I don't really care who I offend, folks. If you get offended by my words, well, good. Perhaps it will make you think a little bit. There's nothing wrong with being offended, folks. Nothing happens when you get offended by someone. There's a great clip, actually, by a friend of mine, Steve Hughes, a comedian, about what happens when you get offended. And actually, nothing happens when you get offended, folks. So don't be afraid to offend people. In fact, I think if speaking the truth does offend people, then you should offend people more, because people need to hear the truth. And if people are offended by the truth, well, quite frankly, I'm offended by their offense. So I think we've reached some sort of a stalemate with that one. So if there are offense laws in place where it's becoming illegal to offend anyone, then how does that law actually work when one finds the legislation itself offensive? In fact, I find just about everything about this system to be offensive, folks. I really do. And let's just look at the system. I mean, what have we got here? What is humanity swimming in? What have we constructed for ourselves to keep us safe and to have a society? We've got a bunch of people who are kept stupid by their government. They're programmed and trained to not think very clearly. They're forced to undergo an education system which is simply an indoctrination system disguised as education, whereby critical thinking is eliminated and people are trained to always respect authority and to always allow themselves to be judged by their peers. They're taught that life is about competition rather than cooperation, and that you will be graded on how well you are able to regurgitate what the teachers tell you. They are taught never to think outside of the box, and they are taught what to think but never how to think, and then they are sent out into the world to become good little business drones and to compete and profit from everybody they can in order to make their financial mark in the world, and that is success, and that is how they will be measured in life. They're subject to an enormous amount of toxins introduced into their environment to keep them asleep and to keep their senses dulled. Things such as fluoride in the water, which inhibits brain function to an incredible degree. Electromagnetic alpha waves coming from the television sets, which lull people into a trance-like state so they can be programmed by subliminal messages that are delivered to them via their television sets. they're programmed by advertising to believe that they want and desire things that they really don't need or want, things that don't really serve them at all. They're kept in a constant state of competition with each other, always believing that they need to measure themselves according to different social standards that are imposed upon them, or that they need to look a certain way or act a certain way or belong to a certain group of people in order to be an acceptable member of society. They're trained to support massive depopulation programs in the form of war and austerity measures and basically the raping of resources of other countries in order to support the First World. We have warehouses of food that are kept from the people. We have people starving because they simply cannot afford to pay the cost of being alive. The people are, of course, trained to never think about the reality of having to pay to be alive. It's just something that they take for granted because they're trained to believe that that's just the way things are. People work to destroy the oceans in order to pay to be alive. We see a massive amount of oil spills and all sorts of activity which is completely destroying the ocean environment, all at the whim of politicians and corporations who profit from these ventures. The people are enslaved to debt in order to pay off fictitious loans to banking cartels. We have governments that are supporting the destruction of groundwater in their countries in order to pay the bills to these banking cartels. The people are subject to GMO food, which is proven to cause sterility and massive defects in all animals that it's been tested on. We have an incredible amount of toxins being sprayed in the skies via aircraft, which is polluting all of the atmosphere on Earth and also causing particulates to appear in the ground. In the soil, we're seeing massive amounts of aluminium and strontium and all sorts of toxins appearing in our environment. The politicians we elect to positions of trust and responsibility are paying themselves an incredible amount of money while engaging in the most atrocious of activities. Many have been identified as pedophiles. Many have been identified as having to do some of the most bizarre and sociopathic things in order to gain approval to become politicians. I point to David Cameron as an example, and him having to have sex with the head of a dead pig and burn a 50-pound note in front of a homeless person in order to join the elite club, which controls politics in the UK. Virtually all of these governments support open war crimes and breaches of international law. None of the governments adhere to law themselves. All are responsible for atrocities against their own people, without exception. All governments are responsible of this. The people are subject to vaccination programs which interfere with their genetics and DNA and compromise their immune systems to an extraordinary level. The people are kept constantly enslaved to debt and made to walk between the lines. They are highly regulated in everything that they do. Even the world itself is off limits to most people unless they get a permit to use particular areas, i.e. a permit to fish, a permit to walk in the forest, a permit to go camping, a permit to do just about anything. We have healing plants outlawed by the government and mankind enslaved to a pharmaceutical industry which profits from the illness that is created by the outlawing of these plants, i.e. the outlawing of cannabis and the huge profits to be made from the medical industry due to the sicknesses that can be prevented and cured were this plant not illegal. We have the elite few corporations who are in control of most of the destruction that goes on in the world, all living tax-exempt existences and having the governments kowtow to them at every turn, and the people are always made to pay the bills to cover the damage that is done by these corporations. And that's just the short list, folks. I mean, that's just what I can think of off the top of my head. There's lots more. There's a hell of a lot of things you can actually name and put on this list of what is wrong with the world and the sort of a situation that we are forced to live in at the hands of our governments. And it's not just the people who suffer, folks. The animals suffer as well. The incredible amount of damage that's been done to the animal kingdom through the wanton destruction of mankind and the factory farming industry, the gross cruelty of the factory farming industry just to put bacon on people's breakfast tables is absolutely unforgivable. And all of this is controlled by a very elite few at the top who control the banking cartels and the companies that these banking cartels control beneath them. There's a very, very few people who are actually doing all of this, ladies and gentlemen. It's just that they control the financial system, and so they are able to control all of the governments down the food chain, and the people are the ones who suffer, simply because the people have been trained to forget themselves. They've been trained to forget who and what they are. They've been trained to believe that corporations are real, that the government is real, and that all of these fictitious mechanisms we've put in place are real. And they've been trained to walk between the lines and to never question authority. And that is the real root of the problem, the fictitious belief that most people have in authority and the willingness of those who work within the system to simply follow whatever orders they are given, regardless of the consequences. And, well, we are really seeing the consequences of those actions now, not just the consequences of the order followers, but also the consequences of the generally apathetic state of mankind. The consequences of the disempowered mentality that has been foisted upon human consciousness. This fictitious belief in authority. We can see what this has done to the world, ladies and gentlemen. We really can. All we have to do is go outside and have a look around. Have a look at your life. Have a look at the things that you have to deal with in your everyday existence. How hard it is just to keep your head above the water in most cases. I mean, everywhere I travel, I see people that are struggling, people that are doing it hard. I see people that, even if they're in a state of reasonable financial security and they've got a good job and a nice home to live in, they're still concerned. They're still concerned about their future. They're still worried about their employment, whether it's still going to be there, whether the job that they work at is actually going to exist in another 6 months or another year because of the austerity measures that the governments are bringing in. So many things are being closed down. So many industries are getting put out of business now. And so even people who are reasonably secure in their environment and reasonably secure in their job and home are still concerned about the way things are going. And this is because people are becoming aware. And people can see the system for what it is now. Even those who were asleep can see it for what it is, and they can see the future that is unfolding. And it's happening all around the world, folks. There is no country that is safe from this system. There's no country that can be seen as a safe haven for anybody. I mean, I've traveled a lot, folks, and I've been looking for safe havens, and I really haven't found one. I thought I might have found one in Peru, but Peru is a very unstable country as well. And if things do turn pear-shaped, then it's really going to be every man for himself on the ground in a lot of third world countries. And in that sort of a situation, I think the gringos are going to be the ones that are the first to go. I really think when it comes to the bar, the first thing a lot of these countries will want to do will be expel the foreigners, because they know that a lot of the problems that they're facing have come from foreign interests. And the people in the third world are beautiful folks. They really are wonderful, wonderful people. You know, every third world country I've been to, I've met fantastic people, really down to earth, strong family values, just downright good people. And that's been a great pleasure. And the way to save the third world really is to rein the first world back under control. You know, the way to save the Amazon, you can't do anything by really coming here to Peru and attempting to buy sections of land or protest things in that way. You have to deal with the companies that are creating the problem, and these are all Western companies. And how are you going to do that? Well, we've got to rein our governments back under control, because that's where all of these companies get all their leeway from. It's the amount of rope that the government give these companies that enables them to go out and do what they do, and that can only be dealt with on the ground in the first world by us refusing to support this system any longer. You know, all of these issues come from our support to the system, and it's really a joke, folks. It's gotten beyond a joke. It really has. You look at the state of the world, and you look at the problems that we face, just the things that I outlined before, and that was just, like I said, tip of the iceberg, folks. There's so many things that are wrong with this existence that we have here, and all of it is contrived, all of it is controlled by financial interests, and we have to identify that problem. We have to step above it. We really do. Now, what they've done in France is a great start, just refusing to comply, refusing to go along with it. We need to do this in all countries. We need to make a stand. We really do. We need to stop complying with this system. The people in Australia have to start standing up for themselves, and so do the people in the United States and England. We've all got to start following suit, and we need to stand up for ourselves peacefully but firmly. And we need to let these politicians know that we can see their game. It's all clear to us now. We can see how we're being played, and we're simply not going along with it anymore. You know, they say we have to do all this because of the financial debt and all of this sort of stuff. Well, who do we owe the debt to? We owe it to these banking cartels who've raped the planet and created this entire financial system anyway. And they've done it in such a way as to rape the planet of its resources and enslave the people to debt. We can see it now, and we have to call it. If there's a debt, we need to cancel it. Just cancel it, scrub the slate clean, and start again. And look at who has been responsible for putting us in this situation. We need to open the books of all of our governments. We need to look at who's been the ones who've been profiting from all this mess. Look at who's been greasing what palms, who's been in bed with who. And we need to work to get some justice and accountability for the crimes these people have committed. Because all of them have committed crimes, folks. Just the state that the world is in, just the state of our society, just the fact that people have to struggle so much to exist, and all of these wars and all of this mayhem we're seeing around the planet, folks, it's absolutely unforgivable. And if we don't stand up and call it, then we are unforgivable too. So it's time for us to do it, folks. It's time for us to really step up to the plate and start calling things for what they are. And each one of us has the ability to do this in our own local community. All we have to do is choose to get involved. You know, I know I've been saying this over and over and over for 8 years, but honestly, folks, it's getting to the point where you've got to stand up or you're simply not going to have a future. I mean, I've tried to be calm about it, and I've tried to be nice about it, and I've tried to be empowering about it for 8 years on air. But we really do have a clear and present danger here, and there is a very, very easy way for us to deal with this problem, and that is simply for us to all stand up in unison and call things for what they are. Look, I think we've reached break time here, folks, so I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I will speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so a lot of the problems that we face come from the fact that people are just caught up in the system, and it's like a web. It's like something they simply can't disentangle themselves from. And people really don't see how easily they could just step outside of the web and disentangle themselves from it simply by connecting with the people around them. You know, we're caught up in this world where we're spending most of our time doing things that we really don't want to do. We're going to work, or we're maintaining our households, or doing something for the kids, or whatever. We're caught up in the treadmill of society. And no matter how much we don't want to do the things that we do, many of us simply don't know how to step away from it. They don't see that if they were to connect with people and have strong ties in their community, they could just do other things. You know, if you had a village of people that were all connected to each other and all knew each other and were all supporting each other in as much as helping each other grow food, helping each other with their different work and maintenance of their houses and different things they're doing, you know, we could have a society that would just function. It wouldn't be a problem at all. It's like the Quakers and the Amish, you know, when someone needs a barn, the whole town shows up and they build the barn in a day. You know, we can all do these sorts of things. We can all have these sorts of communities ourselves. And once we've got that type of community, then it's very easy to step away from the system. Just growing your own food, folks, this is an incredible act of rebellion. In fact, it's one of the most dramatic stands you can take against the system. It's one of the things that will most undermine the government's control over you, is having a supply of food. Because this is the problem, folks. We have to pay to be alive. And what do we have to pay to do? We've got to pay to put a roof over our heads, and we've got to pay to feed ourselves. Well, if you grow your own food, you've just eliminated half of that cost straight away. And not only that, but if you've got enough food, you can also give it away to your neighbours, or at least barter or trade with your neighbours. And if there's legislation in place that says you can't do it, don't worry about it, folks. Ignore the legislation. It's invalid anyway. It was likely written by a war criminal, and there's no law that you cannot grow your own food. And if some politician is presuming to make one, then he needs to be charged with abuse of office and he needs to be arrested. It's as simple as that. But that's not going to happen unless you make a stand and grow your own food. If someone tells you that you can't, well, stuff them, grow it anyway, and take the matter up with the local authorities, how this man is abusing his office by saying you can't grow food. And if there's legislation that's been put in place to say that you can't, then take it up the food chain and get that man for abusing the office that he holds by daring to claim that you can't grow food, because these people are your employees, ladies and gentlemen. They can't tell you what you can and can't do, and they certainly cannot tell you whether or not you can grow food in your own yard. Irrespective of what ridiculous rules they write on paper and what they presume to call it. I don't know, folks, what is it that causes people to give their power away so willingly and so completely? I mean, sure, people get programmed through the education system to respect authority, but the sheer completeness with which they relinquish their authority over themselves is really quite remarkable. And also with the people who exercise authority, who presume to have the power to exercise a right of ownership over others, what gives these people that feeling, that need to control others, and that belief that they can, that belief that they do have a right of ownership over others, and that if people do not comply to their wishes, they can use terrorism against them in order to force them into compliance? Because that's what the governments do. They use terrorism against people, and so do businesses and companies. They use terrorist tactics against their employees in order to whip them into line to make sure that they comply and do what they're told. And terrorism takes many forms, folks. It isn't just blowing yourself up or planting bombs around the place. Terrorism can be psychological. It can manifest in all manner of ways. So you've got to look at it that way, and you've got to look at the tactics that the government uses against the people in order to force them into compliance, which are all essentially terrorist tactics. The fear of scarcity, the fear of being locked up into a cage, the fear of violence being inflicted upon them by a police officer, the fear of a loss of liberties, the fear of a loss of finances, a loss of your home. All of these things are designed to put people in a state of fear and apprehension and are therefore terrorist tactics. Terror is a state of mind, folks. It isn't someone coming at you with a gun or a knife or a machine gun or a bomb. It's a state of mind. If you are terrified, it's because you are in fear of something which is approaching. And this is the tactics that the government uses against the population every single day. In fact, terrorism is the government's main method of controlling the people, and always has been. In fact, I think if you look up early definitions of terrorism, it's actually defined as a government tactic. And it isn't just the government, folks. It's also the media. When you look at the stories that the media feeds the public, this is also terrorism. You know, the media no longer reports the truth to people. It no longer reports objective news to people. Most of what we see on the mainstream media in the form of news is simply war propaganda or terrorism in the form of fear-based mind control that is inflicted upon members of the public. Why is a fear of this? The stock market's about to crash, or this is going wrong, or there's terrorists hiding under every rock, and you've got to be scared of ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all this sort of stuff. We've got to go and bomb Iran and all these sorts of things. This is terrorism, folks. This is putting fear into the minds of people. And the fear that it's putting into the minds of people is, in most cases, completely and utterly unnecessary and completely and utterly unfounded. Like the Iranian threat is completely and utterly unfounded. Iran isn't a terrorist state. It isn't funding terrorism around the world. Most of the terrorism around the world is funded by the United States and Israel. And that's the bottom line. The United States is the biggest exporter of weapons to every country around the planet. I mean, where do you think all these terrorist organizations get their weapons from, folks? It comes from the bomb factories and gun factories that are dotted all across the United States of America. But terrorism is definitely what is inflicted against the population by the mainstream media. In fact, if it wasn't for the propaganda of war that the mainstream media promotes, none of the other terrorism that the government carries out would be possible. Now, when you can begin to grasp this, folks, and really get a handle on the way the government uses terrorism, then you begin to see why the world is in the state it's in. And you begin to see why society is also in the state it's in. You begin to see why people do what they do. you begin to see why the people are so apathetic and so cowed, and you see why the order followers do what they do, and you see why those who presume to lord over others and exercise a right of ownership over others presume to do what they do. It's because of the terrorist tactics that have been used against them and that have been used to mold their mindset. You know, like when you get people and you deprive them of everything, just slowly take their rights away using fear, which is always a methodology that they use to do it. When you slowly do this and you get people into a state of subservience, you know, more and more subservient, more and more having to walk between the lines, and you take a little bit more of their liberties away, a little bit at a time, more and more, then you get to a situation where you can approach the more sociopathic members of society and you can offer them positions of authority where they're lording over others, and thereby they get to have a little bit more freedom than other people, which effectively shields them from the terrorism that is meted out to the masses by government, because they become the inflictors of the terrorism, inasmuch as they are the ones who are enforcing the rules against the, shall we call them, lesser members of society. Now that they've been elevated into this position of authority, they've been given a little uniform and a little badge, and they're told that they are worth more and they are of more value than the other people, the other members of society, that goes to their head a little bit, their ego kicks in, and they're quite happy to exercise a little bit of authority over other people because of the freedom it affords them in doing so. And so when you give people a little bit more freedom and a little bit more shielding from the terrorist machinations of the system, the further they get up the food chain, then you get people that are more than happy to comply. And of course, the ones that work their way up the food chain are always the more sociopathic or more psychopathic members of society, because these are the ones who are more likely to obey the dictates of their masters and to inflict whatever rules they are given upon the people below them. Half the time they will do so simply out of enjoyment, because they like to see those below them suffer. They just like to see people suffer at their whim. That is why people often want these positions of leadership. That's why politicians claw over each other to get the top job, folks, and they do everything they can to discredit the other guy. They actually demonstrate their pure sociopathy all the way through their election campaigns simply by the way they berate the other candidates. So it really should be no surprise what we see from these people once they reach that top position. But again, the entire thing runs on fear and on terrorism. That's how it works, folks. It functions because of different applications of different levels of terrorism and a good dose of fear right the way through. Fear-based mind control, folks, that's what we have. That is this entire system and this entire society in a nutshell. And honestly, folks, the only way we are ever going to break the chains and break free of the system is to break free of the fear. Break ourselves out of this fear-based mind control that has got us caught on this treadmill. Because all of the fear is illusionary. None of it is necessary. None of it is real. I mean, sure, we've got people doing bad things, but they're honestly very few. The real problem is the order followers, the programming that these people have been subject to, and their willingness to follow orders so readily. You know, their belief that doing so is doing the right thing. It's interesting, the programming that these people must have undergone to make them think that way. The indoctrination system in the police force, they call it an induction system. It really is an indoctrination system. This, of course, is a big part of it. And the big boys club and the sigils and the uniform and everything that happens to these people when they get dressed for work and go and hang out in that club, it does affect people in certain ways and has a strong psychological influence on people's actions, especially when they're egged on by the staff sergeant or whatever. And so that is a big obstacle for us to break through. It's really the biggest problem that we face is the order followers. The leaders really are not that much of a problem because there's very few of them. The problem is the wall of ignorance that they've constructed around them, because that's really what it is. It's a wall of ignorance. It's a wall of people who don't think that clearly and who really truly believe that by protecting these sociopaths and psychopaths and these pedophiles, they are actually doing the right thing. And that's an interesting program, and it's a very difficult program to break through. But I think we can do it. I think people within the armed forces and within the police force are seeing now that they are on the wrong side of history. They're living on the wrong side of what it means to be good or bad. They are starting to realize that they're supporting the system and not the people. Now, the interesting thing is that the police are now trained to enforce law. It used to be about dealing with crime and dealing with criminals and addressing grievances that people had and quelling disturbances and making sure people were safe. But now it's about enforcing law. You know, the tables have turned and the role has changed. They don't go out there to ensure people are safe now. They go out to ensure that people are walking through the lines, and they check up on them at every single opportunity to make sure they can dot all the I's and cross all the T's. And if you aren't towing the line to the letter, then they will get extremely violent and very aggressive with anyone simply because you are seen as a lawbreaker, regardless of how insignificant and how sociopathic that law may be. And that has been a subtle change that's happened over a matter of time, but it's actually been a complete reversal of the role of the police. The police no longer protect society, they now protect the system. And that is a very, very important thing for people to pay attention to. And it's a very important thing for police officers to pay attention to as well. But of course, that is why a lot of the older police officers have been weeded out, and they have now got this group of younger officers, all who are trained not to think, all who are kept very, very subservient to the system, all who have extremely low IQs. The level of induction, the IQ level, has dropped significantly because they don't want police officers in there who can think too clearly or who may think for themselves. They just want people who will follow orders and be as brutish as they're told. Of course, they've had to do this the more the system comes online and the more violent and aggressive and sociopathic and fascist the system becomes. They have to populate the police force with people who aren't able to think very clearly, because anyone who can is simply not going to do what they're told. They're going to turn and arrest the politicians and the offending officers who have broken the law by giving them these orders, and that is a problem for them. So they have purposely kept the induction rates very, very low and made sure that they are surrounded by a force of brutish people who don't think very clearly but follow orders very well. So that's really what we're facing in regard to the system, folks. And so that's why violent protests and all this sort of stuff is not really the way to go. I mean, what they've done in France, this is protesting, but it isn't violence. It's just a show of solidarity. And that's what we need. We need people to get up off their chairs and show a little bit of solidarity with their community and stand against the system. You know, you can't really do it individually against this brutish police force, especially in countries such as Australia, because, as I've said so often recently, you're simply not being given an opportunity to. You know, if you backtalk the police in any way, shape or form, they simply arrest you now. That's what they do. So that's a problem. So what we need is a communal response. You know, and I have been saying this for a long time, folks. I've been saying it for the last 8 years, ever since I came on air. We need a strong communal response to what this government is dishing out, because the government itself is in abuse of its office, it's in abuse of the trust that it was given, and it's basically in abuse of international law and local law as well. I mean, the actions of this government are anything but humanitarian, and that can be seen in most countries. It can be seen in the United States, it can be seen in America, it can be seen across Europe. I mean, anybody who's supporting this ridiculous farce that's going on in Syria is frankly in abuse of anything it means to support human rights. Anybody who is listening to these dictates of the UN, I mean, the UN itself, I mean, what a joke, what a puppet show that is. How can you have an organization that even pretends to care about anything, pretend to care about the countries of the world, or pretend to want to make a difference in any way at all, and have this organization appoint Saudi Arabia as the head of human rights and Israel as the head of the legal council? I mean, this is absolutely absurd. That should show as a demonstration to people just how ridiculous the United Nations is. In fact, I would suggest that they even made these appointments just to see if the people would arc up and just to see if the people would actually stand up for themselves. I mean, they've been pushing us in every possible direction they can, ladies and gentlemen, for so long now, So what's it going to take for people to stand up? Maybe that's why they're doing this. Maybe they're just saying, well, here you go, folks. How far are you going to let us push you? How obvious can we make it that you need to step into your power in order to make a difference before you're actually going to do it? You know, how obvious can we make it? How much more can we do? How much more can we put it in your face? Like, we've imprisoned people in Gaza. We've got children held in collective punishment by a rogue state, which is getting massive amounts of funding from nations all around the world, in blatant breach of every international law you can think of, committing blatant human rights violations and everything else you can throw at it. You've got wars being waged all over the planet. You've got the richest nations in the Middle East bombing the poorest nations in the Middle East, all funded with Western help. And think about it, folks. You've got Saudi Arabia bombing Yemen, and Saudi Arabia is an incredibly rich country, and yet it's receiving foreign aid in order to go and bomb Yemen. What's that all about? Why do we even need to assist this country in its extermination of other people? You know, so, you know, this is the world that we've got. And if people don't stand up and call it and stand up for themselves a little bit, then it's never going to change, folks. Now, that's the problem, you know, is that we expect someone else to change it all the time. You know, we expect the politicians to change it. We expect that we can vote someone in or vote someone out and we're going to get a new direction, but we're not. All we're getting is a new face on the coin. Or we think we can join some organization or some movement, or we think we can find someone in the alternative media or truth movement to lead us to safety. You know, we're not prepared to stand up for ourselves in our own community, and that is what it's going to take. You know, there's so many reasons to do this, and there's so many opportunities to do this that people have in their local community. I mean, you're surrounded by people, ladies and gentlemen. You're surrounded by folks out there who want to see change as well. And you can go to any type of meeting, and you can just start talking to people, start planting seeds of information in people's minds, start offering suggestions of how you could improve things in your own community, how you can address the abusive relationship that you have developed with government, because that's what we've got. We've got an abusive relationship with our politicians, folks. It's the same as any abusive relationship. It's the same as a woman who continues to live with a wife beater because she doesn't know any other way. And that's what we're doing. We're living with people who constantly abuse us and beat us into submission simply because we don't know any other way and we're too scared to step out of that reality and make something better for ourselves. But I think we have an opportunity to do it. I really do. And I'm just wondering what it's going to take. And whether that is, as I said, why the powers that believe they be are putting all these things in our face the way they are, why they would make this appointment of Israel as the head of the legal council and Saudi Arabia as the head of human rights. I mean, what else can they say to you? Look, we don't care. What are you going to do? How much is it going to take before you notice that we don't care? How much do we have to do to suppress you and abuse you and belittle you? How many children do we have to rape and kill before you people out there are going to stand up for yourselves and step into the light, step into your own power and stand up for humanity, stand up for mankind, stand up for this world, this place that we live in, and make it better? What's it going to take for people to realize what's going on and to put down the fear of ever being themselves and standing up to make a difference? You know, it wouldn't take any violence. You don't have to stand up and kill anybody or shoot anybody. You don't have to pick up a gun. All you've got to do is express your humanity and express it to the people around you. Share information. Share these shows. Share what you can. Share your heart. Share your love with people. Share the food that you grow. Share the food that you cook. Just share yourself with people. Become part of the community. You know, apply yourself to the 3D reality that you live in. You know, there's so much spiritual teaching that we go through, so much work to improve the self, but we forget that there's only one self. We're all part of the self. We'll never improve the self by ignoring the plight of others. And you live in this 3D world for a reason. And it's because you're supposed to participate. Well, I would suggest that is the reason anyway. A good clue is that you exist. I think that should be a pretty big clue for people that they are here to participate in this 3D reality, this physical form, this world of duality that we live in. And it's so much work to separate ourselves from duality, and yet it's a paradox because without duality, I couldn't be having this conversation with you. I couldn't be speaking to you now. You wouldn't be able to hear my words if we were not two separate individuals. So it's a world of duality, and That duality is what enables us to be able to interact and to create with each other. That's what it's for. Duality isn't something that we need to avoid. It's a tool that we can use to further our spiritual growth if we can learn to apply our spiritual understandings to the physical world that we live in. That's how it works. And all these things are tools, folks. Even this mess that we find ourselves in is a tool. It's a pathway to freedom. Because without the oppression, you'd never get the desire for freedom. You'd never get the need to stand up for yourself if it wasn't for someone attacking you. And so we have to pay attention to the situation and how these tools can be used and what the opportunities are that these situations are providing for us. Because all of it is opportunity. You know, this whole experience is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for growth. It's the opportunity for growth, both for the individual and for the collective. You know, but it's about what we do with it. It's about what difference we can make while we're here. And that doesn't mean counting or depending on anybody else but yourself. You know, it's one thing to listen to these shows. It's one thing to even share the shows with people. But if you're not participating in the real world and you're not making a stand, if you're not writing letters to people and you're not talking to people and you're not standing up against the system in what manner that you can, while keeping it safe for yourself, of course. I'm not asking anybody to go and get themselves arrested here. I'm just asking people to ask the right questions to the right people in a public enough way. You know, but whatever you can do, folks, it's up to you to do it. You know, we have these ideas and we think, gee, that would be good. I wish someone would do that. But we never think that perhaps that could be us that did that. And that perhaps if we did do that, then perhaps others would be inspired by that action and perhaps they would follow suit. And that's why I've done what I do in the hope that others will follow suit. You know, I try to lead by example in what I do. Now, perhaps that example isn't always the best. Perhaps I don't get it right all the time. And I certainly don't, folks. You know, I'm not infallible. I do make mistakes. I don't pretend to be perfect and I don't pretend to have all the answers. All I do when I come here is offer a perspective. That's all I've got to give you is my perspective of what's going on and what I believe applicable solutions may be. And that's all I have to offer, and I do the best I can, but I don't always get it right. I'm just human like you, and I do make mistakes. But I think this is a time of huge awakening and huge opportunity, folks, if we can just embrace what we have here, what we have at our fingertips. I think we can really make a better world from this point. But it's up to the people in the first world to pay attention. Now, all the problems that we see in the world today come from the first world. They come from the governments that run the first world and the banking corporations that control those governments. But we have to find the path to get to the top of the food chain. That path is through government. That is our interface. So we need to address these criminals, these criminal CEOs that are running the corporate slavery system in each country, and have these people held accountable. And we can do that if we simply show solidarity with each other and stand up as one united voice to address this issue. We do that, we can change the world in a day. And you'd be surprised at the difference one show of solidarity would make. With that in mind, of course, I'm attempting to organise a worldwide strike on April 15th next year, but that is one small step in many others that need to be taken. And I believe there is also a nationwide strike on July 4th this year. I'm not sure which nation that is for, though. I imagine it is either the United States or England, so you might want to Google that and check up on it, but someone did mention it to me the other day. But look, I think we've reached the end of the show here, folks, so I'm going to have to leave it here for now. Thank you to everybody who listens to the show. Thank you to everybody who has subscribed to the Patreon account and supports the show to keep it on the air. And thank you to everybody who sends me emails and kind words. And folks, don't despair. Don't give up on humanity. Don't give up on your own potential. Don't give up on your community. Don't think that we can't make a difference, because the darker things get, then the more brightly the light of mankind will shine. I really do believe this to be true, and I believe this to be a time of great awakening and great opportunity and a time of great transition. So please do not despair. Always believe in yourself and in your ability to make a difference. But folks, this is the end of the show. I am completely out of time. Thanks again to anybody who emails and supports the show. And I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take good care until then. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.